I actually think this thing is on. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Game Doubt. My name is Richard, and we're actually back. We're back. It's been a while. Let's roll the intro, and let's talk. As I said in the intro, it's been a hot minute since I sat down and just spoke to you all and had a bit of a chat and recorded my podcast. And I really am sorry. I know I've done this a few times and consistency has never been my kind of strongest skill set. However, let's make a positive change and a difference on this impact and, you know, let's move forward accordingly. That's why we're ending the second season and we're starting a new season, a bit of a fresh start, a reboot, and all those good things that come with it. Yes, I've got different ideas of how I want to do this podcast and just kind of give you my thoughts and opinions on the backlog that I'm going through, but also the gaming news. I think that's been one of my hardest struggles, is that there are many great sites out there that are talking and discussing and divulging the gaming sector, but I want to be part of that as well and talk about the things that really do kind of, I don't know, grind my gears, so to speak, about the gaming sector and the industry, so to speak. Here we are, season 3, and this will release, hopefully, touch wood, every Friday. That's the plan. I'll get a recording all done and dusted to release around 3 in the afternoon British time. Between 3 and 5 is probably going to be the release cycle, every Friday, weekly. And we're going to be talking some gaming news, and we're going to be talking about the games that I'm playing. And the games that I'm playing will be done in kind of a couple of different formats, if you like a book club style or like a play-by-play, talking about the experiences that I'm having and what I'm playing, how I'm playing them, that kind of stuff. For example, on my Steam Deck right now, we've got Rollerdrome, and Hi-Fi Rush. But I haven't played enough to really talk about them, but they're in there ready to be discussed on my backlog. So, how or what are we going to discuss today is two articles have tickled my pickle, so to speak. And the first one is about our friends over at Electronic Arts. You know, the wonderful beacon of light that is EA. They know how to push and allow people to really express themselves and allow people to make sure that, you know, there's a certain type of, I don't know, we feel like we're getting our money's worth out of Electronic Arts games. Well, PC Gamer have got an article which was published a couple of days ago. CEO Andrew Wilson, so you know it's going to be a good one when we start with that name, was asked about in-game ads. Yep, in-game ads in a recent earnings call. So we've gone from the loot box world, yep, the one and only loot boxes, and we know how egregious that was with Star Wars Battlefront 2, to what is the next logical step in EA's portfolio to try and get as much money out of you as possible. AAA games are looking to have ads inside their game. Now, I know that there are games out there like Death Stranding that really did punch the advertisement straight in the face. But come on, like, you know, I don't want an advertisement for Weetabix inside my Battlefield. That's just weird. But let's read the article together and see what's said. CEO Andrew Wilson was asked about in-game ads in a recent earnings call. In his office at EA, Andrew Wilson sits dreaming. Specifically, the CEO's dreaming is about ways to deliver ads to EA players, up to and including potential sticking them into a corporation's $60 to $70 AAA video games. That's per a recent earnings call between Wilson and EA investors via Tom's Hardware, in which the EA's boss was asked if there were plans for more dynamic ad insertion across the traditional AAA games, Wilson's answer was, "We have teams internally in the company right now looking at how do we very thoughtfully implementations inside our game's experience." To be clear, it sounds like EA's efforts are at in-game ads are still very much in a drawing board stage, but Wilson is clear that this is something the company is dedicating a fair bit of brain power to. Quote, "As we think about the many, many billions of hours spent both playing, creating, watching and connecting, and where much of the engagement happens to be on the bounds of traditional gaming experience, our expectation is that advertising has an opportunity to be meaningful driver to grow for us," Wilson told investors. In less flowery terms, that reads, loads of people are playing our games and we sure could make bank if we showed them the ads. And that's how I read this article. The article goes on to discuss more about how, you know, you could see the ads, Burnout Paradise billboards that you're smashing through could have Duracell batteries scattered around them, and different bits and pieces really could be a case of, I'm trying to think, you know, football games have ads in them, but then, you know, they're recreating a stadium and so on. Same with the Formula One games. You know, EA as a company, they have a majority of their games as services. You don't have the traditional single player experiences. Even Star Wars could have advertisement for a drink company or something like that with, you know, flying through the galaxy and a random space billboard pops up out of nowhere with advertisement for Pepsi Max. What a surreal world that would be. But, you know, it doesn't surprise me with Electronic Arts. Electronic Arts are, you know, one of the most notorious companies out there to try and find a way of not only keeping you engaged in some of the worst practices possible, but also getting out as much money of you as they possibly can. Or if, you know, a company comes to EA and say, look, we want to advertise inside that game, EA can charge as much as they want or as little as they want to get that product inside the game. There isn't anything wrong inherently with product placement, but the gaming industry as we know it, we love it, is no longer a thing. You have to look for your indie developed AA studios to really have what I would call that gaming experience of yesteryear. And that's really sad because, you know, there are probably some really talented developers at EA that can make some amazing stuff. They own the catalogs of Mass Effect, Dragon Age, just to name two games. But insanely, they have got someone at the top of the board essentially wanting to make as much money as possible and finding a way of rinsing players of that cash. And that's Andrew Wilson, and that's the downside to that company. And when, you know, it all goes pear-shaped, they'll soon close the studio, but he'll still take $200 million plus as a bonus, you know, at the end of the year. Dread to think how much he would get as a bonus or his wage if this became a reality. And I really, truly hope it doesn't become one of those realities that we have to face. I have just played some of this back and I sound awful. I seem to be dealing with a bit of a cold, so please bear with me with how my voice sounds. Sorry it doesn't sound like me, but I promise you it's not AI generated. However, my second piece that I want to talk about, I'm a little bit late on the curve of this second story. However, it ties into something that I think is a good sign that companies are slowly listening. However, we shouldn't have to go through the backlash that we did to get to this point. This one is all about Helldivers 2 and the recent debacle that Sony found themselves in. So, those who don't know or were living under a rock while this was all kicking off, Helldivers 2 is one of the most critically acclaimed co-op live service shooters a-going. This game launched to an absolute overall positive kind of feedback, apart from servers dying under the weight of the most, you know, or the popularity of the game. It dropped. It's incredible. It's a lot of fun with friends. You can kill your friends. It's at heart a live co-op live service where you and three of your up to three of your friends fight for democracy in the most over top, exhilarating shooter that you can find. And that's Helldivers 2. There was an original, which was more of a top-down bullet hell style game, which even to this day is incredible. However, when this game released back in February, there was a very small note on the side of the Steam page, which I think has been removed now. Requires third-party account. PlayStation Network supports linking to Steam account. And that is really important. Let's remember that. That's been there since day dot. However, it wasn't implemented because apparently like server issues were the problem. How true that is, I don't know. All I do know is Helldivers 2 did launch in a bit of a mess because you couldn't play it. And there was like memes about playing the first game because that didn't have any problems. However, Helldivers posted the following on the 3rd of May. So we're talking over a week ago now. Helldivers fans, so that's the update. Let's scroll past that. This has got massive lines through it now because I am quite late to the punch on this. But attention, Helldivers. Due to a technical issues at launch, launch of Helldivers 2, we allowed the linking requirements of Steam accounts to a PlayStation Network account to be temporarily optional. That grace period will now expire. See details below in the post. Account linking plays a critical role in protecting our players and upholding the values of the safety and security provided on PlayStation and PlayStation Studio games. This is our main way to protect players from griefing, abuse, and enabling the banning of players that engage in that type of behavior. It also allows those players that have been banned the right to appeal. As of May 6th, all new Helldivers players on Steam will be required to connect their Steam account to a PlayStation Network account. Current players on Steam will see the mandatory login from May 30th and will be required to have their linked Steam and PlayStation account by June 4th. PlayStation Network accounts are free and easy to set up using the link provided. We understand that while this may cause an inconvenience for some of you, remember that bit. This step will help us continue to build a community that we can all be proud of and a part of. Many thanks for your continued support of Helldivers 2, Sony Interactive Entertainment. Really important, that part, that it may be an inconvenience to some of you. Well, this didn't go down very, very well at all. Helldivers became one of the most unpopular games on Steam in what was a very quick moment. That's right. Basically, Helldivers publisher Sony had screwed up majorly. If we look at the Steam reviews for Helldivers, because that's kind of the data, they still sit on mixed. 68% of views, it's mixed. But on the 3rd of May, when this news kind of dropped, we got 36,000, nearly 37,000 negative reviews. The next day, because basically Sony was kept tight-lipped and didn't really want to do anything, 72,000. And then on May 5th was probably the biggest interjection of negative reviews, 94,500 negative reviews on their Steam profile, basically saying, you know what, we don't want this. And, you know, quite rightly so. To put it in perspective, over a four-day period, Helldivers had received 218,000 negative reviews. And essentially, basically telling Sony, no, we don't want this. We do not want you to make this a requirement. And there was some good reasoning behind it. First of all, Sony has a history of leaks on their network. And the timeline for that goes a little bit like this. April 21, hackers access personal data of 77 million network users, May 21, personal data of 25 million Sony Online Entertainment customers stolen. June 21, Sony Pictures website hacked. And then we had nothing till 2014, which is hackers steal 100 terabytes of data. 2014 again, PlayStation Network taken down by a Christmas DDoS attack. 2017, hacker groups access Sony social media accounts. And then September 23, Sony investigates alleged hack. October 23, Sony notifies employees of a data breach. So in the space of, 8 years? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's like maybe 5, 6 times that Sony have you know, been hacked. So there's your first problem. People don't want to be linking their Steam account to essentially a company that barely can, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Look after themselves. So there is that problem. The next problem is the fact that Sony's PlayStation account, their network account, is only available in certain regions in the world. And would you not believe it? That list of countries is 121. So what did it happen? What did this do on Steam? Well, they officially unsold it or delisted it in those regions. Yep, Gabe was not going to be getting into a lawsuit with Sony. So where Steam was available, but PSN wasn't, that was the first kind of big pull of this game. So people who had paid good money for this to play this on their PC had just had it yeeted from them. They couldn't access it, they couldn't play it, and that was it. Game over for those players. But still at this point, we had nothing from Sony, and we had like the community manager doing some really sort of strange stuff, including telling people to downvote it, which rumors is the community manager has now lost his job over this. We know that you're trying to fight a good fight, and the whole kind of like shtick of the game is for democracy. But at the end of the day, you know, you need to keep your job. And sometimes you got to look at the bigger picture. But though I do agree that I'm glad that he did fight the fight against the evil corporation that is Sony. It's really funny to kind of look at Helldivers 2 as a game that kind of breeds this whole parody of democracy from Starship Troopers and different things, and their own publishing label decided to absolutely do one. And there are comments now as the reviews start going back up of people saying that, you know, they had democracy to fight in real life. People just didn't want this. Not only was it stupid, it was silly to think that those regions that didn't have the ability to sign up to PlayStation Network, which Sony would know, you know, it just makes Sony look like a laughing stock. And that's a real shame. And there was another game that was caught in the crossfire is the upcoming release of Ghost of Tsushima. Thanks to GamesRadar for this. Following Sony's Helldivers debacle, Ghost of Tsushima PSN requirement is also to get removed from Steam in over 170 countries. Ghost of Tsushima single player doesn't require PSN, but the co-op does. Helldivers 2 PSN debacle won't be over, but similar requirements in restricting access to Ghost of Tsushima port in over 170 territories. Ghost of Tsushima Director's Cut is due to launch on PC next week on May 16th. So as of recording, about 4 or 5 days. Though the open world samurai romp has been removed from Steam in almost 180 countries worldwide because the game's online co-op mode requires players to link an active PSN account, which is impossible in many countries due to lacking PSN access. SteamDB shows that purchase restricted countries were added to the Ghost of Tsushima's listing earlier this week, with many affected players reporting that Steam has automatically refunded their purchase. Developer Sucker Punch tried to clarify the account linking plans, explained that a PSN account is required for Legends Online multiplayer mode and to be used in PlayStation Overlay. No PSN account linking is required to jump into the game, however, game single player portion, though, as is the case with other PlayStation published PC ports. Helldivers 2 announced that the PSN account would be mandatory after months after launch, aggravating players. We know this. The publisher seems to be doing the better job the community Ghost of Tsushima's requirement by locking out global players to boost PSN account numbers is still not ideal. Sony's PC efforts might still be continuing with an imminent God of War Ragnarok port announcement, so we'll see what the future looks like for the multi-platform push. And yeah, it looks like they've you know, reverted this back, pulled it fully, because they've added countries back to the game where PlayStation Network is not available. You know, it's a real shame. Helldivers 2 was and is one of the best games to come out of this year. And not only that, it's one of the most fair price games you're going to get. At £35, I think it was here in England, you could really enjoy playing this game and not feel like you're getting ripped off. Yes, it has a battle pass. Yes, it has the usual live service tropes, but it's not in your face. The comedy and what the game is about is the stuff that's in your face. It's just a shame that Sony did a Sony and wanted to destroy the reputation of their own critical darling. I'm honestly not sure how I feel about my voice right now. It sounds weird as anything. It honestly sounds like it's AI generated, but there we go. So I just kind of want to wrap up the first episode of the new season, if you like, with a bit of a talk about what's on my Steam Deck and what to expect over the next coming weeks and months of the games that I'm playing. I've really struggled to kind of get my head into certain games, just purely on the basis, I just struggled this all. I've only completed a couple of games this year. One was Cyberpunk, and I've already done that. I already did that first time round ages ago. I can't actually remember what the other game was that I completed. I completed Pokemon, and it was atrocious. One of the worst Pokemon experiences I've ever played. And yeah, I don't ever want to play Scarlet and Violet again, unless I'm battling my son. However, currently on the docket, we've got, as I said, Rollerdrome. Keep getting told how good this is. Hi-Fi Rush is there. We're going to be talking about that, and probably next week we're going to be talking about Hi-Fi Rush. Doing a bit of a deep dive onto Hi-Fi Rush. Eastward is I've got it in my sights. I've reinstalled The Witcher 3 onto my Steam Deck, so kind of nervous about spending any time with that. However, I have got Valkyria Chronicles also installed, because it's a game that I keep installing and uninstalling and going from there. The big JRPG that I am playing is Tales of Arise, and I'll be talking about that next episode, along with like Hi-Fi Rush and bits and pieces like that. This show was mainly to talk about a couple of news pieces and just to say that I am back. We've got some games coming. I just need a little bit of time to get the stuff recorded. And I want to thank you all, you know, for your patience. I'm terrible, and I want to get better. It's as simple as that. And I need to find a way. I found a way of doing it. I just need to make sure I implement that way going forward. So, as always, thank you for sticking by me. Thank you for listening. I really am sorry for how nasally I sound. Not the sexiest podcast, I must say. However, until next time, I'll see you all soon. Oh, I should say, all the socials are still the same. So you can find me on Instagram at GameDoubtRichard. You can find me over on X, GameDoubt. And we're on TikTok. We are on YouTube. And I'm kind of thinking about doing some content, but it's going to be one step at a time. Anyway, until next time, folks, thank you very much for listening. And I'll see you all soon. Bye-bye for now.